Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, March 16th, 2016. I am Jason Powell. I guess it's a happy 316 day, as people like to say, who follow the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. We are not here to talk Steve Austin today, though. We are going to be talking about the TNA Impact Wrestling Show that aired on Pop TV on Tuesday night. It was taped earlier in the day in Orlando, Florida at Universal Studios. Yeah, they bill it as a live show. It's taped shortly before. It's just kind of same-day tape delay. And they label it as live. WWE does the same thing when they're in the UK. It's not that big of a thing. We have a new TNA champion. That is a big thing. Drew Galloway cashed in his Feast or Fired contract, very similar to the way WWE's Money in the Bank operates. You can cash in at any time. I really thought when Drew Galloway cashed in, it was going to be more of a noble babyface move. Even though there was a heel champion, I really thought it would be Drew Galloway cashing in a way where he tells Matt Hardy it's coming. Because that's consistent with the character Drew Galloway plays. He is just the ultimate nice guy, babyface in TNA. And so seeing him cash in like this was a bit of a surprise. I don't think it's a sign that he's going to turn heel or anything like that. I hope it's not. TNA clearly has been going just all out, trying to get EC3 over as the top babyface, and I'm hoping they're not looking at Galloway thinking, hey, we have EC3, we can turn Galloway. I don't think TNA can have enough strong babyfaces, and you need strong heels, and that is where, as much as I'm happy Drew Galloway got a title run, it's not that he's not a deserving champion by any means. This guy's completely reinvented himself since leaving WWE. I don't think about 3MB anymore when I see Drew Galloway, which says a lot, because when he left, it was like, oh boy, he's going to have a tough time. He has gone out there, not just in TNA, but Evolve and working independently, and completely reinvented himself. And so he's a deserving champion. Matt Hardy, though, was doing the best work of his career, in my opinion, as far as mic work and things like that. And I'm disappointed to see him lose the title as quickly as he did. I don't know if this was an overreaction to TNA's viewership numbers on Pop TV, if they felt like they needed to do something to try to spark some interest. I say overreaction because I don't know that changing the champion is necessarily going to lead to bigger and better things. We'll see. Maybe it will. But I just think they had a really good thing going with Matt Hardy as champion. And then he was surrounded, of course, by Rebby, his son Maxwell, and then Tyrus and Rockstar Spud. It really felt like they had a good thing going there. And it's not that the act is ruined by any means. It's just that you're losing something with Matt Hardy when he doesn't have that championship. It was fun to watch him gloat and carry on the way he did as TNA champion. I don't know that it's going to have the same impact now. I mean, he's not going to be able to gloat about being champion, but him as the heel, as like the top heel in the company, we'll see how that goes. Very interesting decision by TNA. I mean, I like that they take their, again, quote-unquote live show seriously and wanted to give people something. But I have to say that going into this, I didn't think they did a very good job of promoting themselves. Yes, they advertised a few matches in advance. That's always nice. You know, it's something that WWE struggles with. You see it on Raw a lot, where they just give you, coming up on SmackDown, Miz TV, or just some talking segment. It comes across like they haven't written the show yet. With TNA, they knew well in advance what their big matches were going to be. I expected to be a little more, not wowed, but I expected more buzz. I expected them to try to generate more interest on the day of the show than they did. Yeah, they were on Twitter a little bit. I just expected something more than we got. Maybe a match announcement, a little something, and it really didn't feel like we got anything. The closest they came was releasing video footage that showed that Grado was wronged by Eli Drake the day before. I think you need to kind of, in TNA's case, you really do need to wow people. You need to get people excited about what is going to happen on your television show. If you think obviously they knew it was going to be a big show. They were playing up the live aspect, and it just seemed like they could have done more in that regard to market this as a big show for them. But let's get into it. They opened up with Jeff Hardy making his entrance. We had Josh Matthews and D'Angelo De Niro on commentary. And they went backstage where Eric Young found Dixie Carter. So if you had like 2 minutes for the over-under as far as how long it would take them to show Dixie Carter on a live show, congratulations. And know that we saw her again a short time later. Oh boy. She was seated next to John Gaborik, and Eric Young just started asking, do you like this? And he promised the wrestling world he was going to hurt Jeff Hardy and then said Dixie would remember this forever and she would have to live with it. I didn't really see what purpose this served at the time. And then when we got to the match, we found out quickly. It was Jeff Hardy against Eric Young. They were brawling a bit. Dixie walks out. And then we're about 5 minutes into the show, and we've already seen Dixie twice. And she ended up saying that Young started this when he ended up pile-driving Jeff Hardy through a table. And then she announced that the winner of this match will be added to the TNA title match later in the show. So she's mad at Young for pile-driving Hardy through a table, yet she's going to give him an opportunity to get into the TNA title match later in the show. Stop and think about that for a second. I often wonder when I see the way Dixie Carter, that they've been better with her this year. This was kind of the first embarrassing TNA Dixie Carter moment of the year as far as her character is concerned. There have been so many times over the years where I'm just like, are they writing her to be the dumbest character in wrestling? I just sit there and like, wow. Like, she falls for Jeff Jarrett and the whole Global Force Wrestling thing that, you know, prompted that war. All the times that, you know, Aces and Eighth Bischoff turned on her, and did Hogan turn on her too? He probably did. I mean, just the list goes on of all the people who have, you know, turned on Dixie Carter that she doesn't see it coming. And this was just kind of like weird logic, I felt. And I also have to say that this is what I'm talking about. It wasn't a big moment in the show. It wasn't like, oh my God, the winner of this is going to get in. But still, it would have been something had they just announced beforehand that, hey, change here. If, you know, we've decided that the winner of this is going to get a title shot, they're going to be entered into the mat. It would have been something. Now, none of it really made a whole lot of sense as to why she did this. And even if you had announced it, it would have been like, well, that's weird. Why? But I think at least it would have given them something to market heading into this live show. Again, so-called live show. The match itself with Jeff Hardy beating Eric Young to earn a TNA title shot. Young ended up, he was targeting the neck of Jeff Hardy, which makes sense because in a storyline sense, Jeff was out. He always misses the UK. He always misses the UK tour, but we knew that, the storyline was that, he was injured because of that pile driver. Young went for a headbutt off the second rope. Hardy rolls out of the way, and then he ends up going on an offensive roll and winning with the Swanton. After the match, Matt Hardy, Rebby Sky, and Max will come out. Matt's clapping, and said that it seemed like Matt had a smile on his face despite his brother earning the title shot, and they go to a commercial break. When they come back, Matt's just laying it on thick, you know, praising Jeff for his comeback of the year, heck, maybe even the decade. He even apologized for not saving Jeff. He just said he was looking out for his family. Rebby was being nice to Jeff, even handed Maxwell to Jeff to hold on to. And Matt says, Uncle Jeff has a great ring to it. And then he got to the point of all this. He said that this is his night to pin EC3. And he said that he and Jeff could have the biggest match in TNA history at Bound for Glory 2017 or maybe even 2018, trying to put this off. So, I mean, it was clear what he was doing. It was very good old school fun heel stuff. Jeff ended up handing the baby back to Rebby and said that and then asked Matt if he really believed what he just said. And Jeff said he is in the main event tonight. And Matt said they haven't always seen eye to eye, but he asked Jeff to shake his hand and take this deal. And Matt promised him a title shot down the line and put his hand out. Jeff ended up apparently flipping him off because it was censored. And then Jeff put Matt down with a twist of fate. And then Josh Matthews was there to hype the big three-way main event for later in the show. So a bit of an awkward opening, you know, just with that whole addition to and making it a triple threat match that they went with. But I do like that, much like WWE didn't waste, you know, but didn't go with the usual 15, 20-minute opening talking segment, TNA didn't either. You had a little bit backstage, and you had a little bit from Dixie on the stage. But otherwise, it was kind of a match, and then some of the things around it that kind of set the pace for later in the show. We ended up with footage of Eddie Edwards addressing the injury that Davey Richards suffered, which was on the last show that aired. Of course, it was the last show of the UK tour. He is out with a torn ACL. DK ended up showing up and attacking Eddie Edwards and leaving him lying. Then we had Mike Bennett and Maria talking backstage about how they made their first appearance on the last live show, and Bennett said Maria isn't afraid of Gail Kim, and he's already beaten Drew Galloway, and he said tonight is when the miracle happens. They had another commercial break, and then when they came back, Eddie Edwards was taping up his fists, and Beer Money approached him and said that he didn't have to fight Decay alone. So they were basically offering to be with him, you know, join him in this fight. And then we went to the second match, which was Mike Bennett and Maria beating Drew Galloway and Gail Kim in 3:20. It was the main focus of the match was Maria managing to elude Gail Kim. You know, she talks a good game all the time, and then when push comes to shove, when Gail, you know, wants to fight her, Maria always ducks out of it. And so that was kind of the story here. It was more about them than it was Mike Bennett and Drew Galloway. And in retrospect, I'm surprised they went with the finish they did. It was Maria rolling up Gail Kim after both she and Galloway had hit their finishers on Bennett. It was kind of a quick roll-up and pin for Maria. I'm surprised they didn't have Bennett beat Galloway. Just because, you know, pin him in this match. Yes, they're telling a story with Maria and Gail, but you would I know Bennett already has one win over Galloway. Why not give him a second over the, you know, the guy who would go on later in the show to become the new TNA champion? But we went to a recap of the whole Lashley and Kurt Angle situation from last week, and they went to a commercial and they came back. It was time for an interview with Lashley. He did really well. This, you know, Lashley talking has never been his strong point. He always looks very awkward, and I've said that some of that awkwardness really works for him as a heel. It makes him seem unstable. Well, this was the least awkward I've seen Lashley on the mic. He just seemed more composed than usual. He was, not that it was flawless or anything like that. I mean, he's still not a great talker, but he just seems much more confident than he did in the past. And I know John Moore in his TNA Impact Wrestling hit list that you can read on the main page of ProWrestling.net right now felt the same way. And John also praising Lashley for ditching the poor fashion choice of that goofy headband that he'd been wearing. He'd been wearing a sweatband. I don't know why, but that was gone. We'll see if it returns once he starts wrestling again. Not a big fan of it. But anyway, Lashley ended up basically just talking about how he's a fighter. That's his job. You know, he's pretty emotionless when it comes to what he did to Kurt Angle. And he said that he's the toughest man in MMA and in the ring. So whether it's a cage or in the ring, he's a fighter. That's his job, that sort of thing. And then Matthews asked Lashley if Angle was his friend, and he said, "I don't have any friends, especially in this business." And he added that if you step in the ring with him, he's going to hurt you. And then the fans were chanting, "Lashley sucks," and Matthews asked if he had any response, and his response was to grab Matthews by the jacket and fling him to the ground pretty violently. And then Pope runs in, and a nice exchange here. Good facials from Pope, kind of looking at him in a way like, what the hell are you doing? And standing his ground, not being intimidated by Lashley, but standing up for a friend in Josh Matthews. Josh rolls out of the ring, and then Pope, after going, you know, tending to Lashley, walks into a Lashley spear, which got good heat. And then Lashley pushed Pope out of the ring with his foot, and then raising his arms as his music played. So a good segment here. I really like what they're doing with Lashley. I don't know how, but they have to protect him from losses. He can't be a guy that's losing trading wins and losses or I just don't even want to see the guy lose. I think because he's kind of their monster. He's their monster heel right now. So they have to be very protective of him. I would say if he is going to lose a match, if they put themselves in a position where they feel like, all right, we can't have him win, make it a triple threat and let the other guy take the loss. I want to see Lashley protected because I think that's how he's going to be most effective. But Pope did a really good job here. I'm curious to see what they do with him coming out of this because we ended up getting, I'll get to it in a second. But first we got Decay backstage and Abyss asking the Wolves if they really thought that they forgot about them. And he said that the decay of Edwards and Beer Money will come at their hands. And he said it's a different world and there's only one person dark enough to fight with he and Crazy Steve. And Rosemary said, tonight is a good night for Decay. So Rosemary would be their tag team partner. And then they went to a commercial break. And when they came back, this is when we found out that Pope was off the broadcast team, at least for the rest of the night. We'll see going forward. He was replaced by Jeremy Borash. And I like this. Jeremy Borash has done a nice job filling in the past. I remember there were shows that he's a good play-by-play voice, and he's done a nice job too. Like when Taz couldn't be at certain shows when he was still with TNA, Borash would fill in with Mike Tenay, and I always thought he did a nice job. I don't think Pope is atrocious on commentary. I just don't think there's a ton of chemistry with he and Josh Matthews, and I don't think Pope is so good that you wait for that chemistry to develop. I think that He's a little bit gimmicky. I'd hope that it just kind of feels like he's in the same place now that he was when he started as a color commentator. I don't know that it's necessarily going to be his thing. I don't know if who's producing him, and if it's something where if he had the right person giving him some advice where he could really improve. But we just haven't seen that. It's just kind of he says kind of the same things, and there are times when he adds something. There's times when he takes something away. But I think Borash has already proven that he is way far more consistent. So we'll see what happens there, and if this means Pope is going to return to the ring for something with Lashley, I don't know where they're going with this. All right, before we get into the second hour, I want to tell you that if you enjoy this type of audio analysis of the television shows and pay-per-views, we do this for all the major shows and pay-per-view events at ProWrestling.net on the members' side. For instance, on Saturday night, I did 35 minutes discussing the Roadblock show shortly after it was over. Monday night was my Raw audio review. The members are going to be hearing the Ring of Honor weekly Ring of Honor television show review in audio form by either Hayden Gleed and or Darren Gutteridge. It just they've kind of got a system where if one of them can't do it, the other one jumps in. But they try to do them together, and those are always the best when the guys get together and they break down all things Ring of Honor. Tomorrow, I'm going to give you guys a sample of what Zach Zimmerman offers. I always say nobody follows NXT closer than Zach Zimmerman, and I swear by that. And he will be by with an audio review of the NXT television show for you in this all-access audio slot. You can look forward to hearing Zach and know that Zach's weekly audio reviews in the NXT program are available exclusively for .NET members every week. You may hear them occasionally, and I know you have in the past if you're a longtime listener, but they are available each and every week for .NET members. It gives us a chance to go into a little bit more detail than the 15 to 30 minutes that we kind of allot ourselves for this particular slot. Coming up tomorrow on the member side will be the .NET Weekly audio show, and I'm waiting to get confirmation from somebody right now. I can tell you that for next week's .NET Weekly audio show, Jim Ross has confirmed that he will join me. So barring something, some sort of late change, Jim will be joining me either Wednesday or Thursday. We haven't figured out exactly when it's going to work best with his schedule yet, but that's right. WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross will be joining me exclusively for a one-hour .NET Weekly audio show. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about WrestleMania, all the major happenings in pro wrestling on today's show, or on Thursday's show. And while I can't tell you that I have a co-host lined up quite yet, I'm just, again, waiting for confirmation on that for Thursday's show, I can tell you that there's going to be some exclusive news items in there. We'll certainly be talking about who is a likely candidate to be leaving Ring of Honor for NXT fairly soon, and I'll get a breakdown of a lot of different news items during that show. It is usually a one-hour show, if not more. We oftentimes cover first-run news items that have not been reported elsewhere, and that will certainly be the case tomorrow. And so if you are interested in listening to all these audio perks on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, all you have to do is visit the main page. And once you're there, you will find the sign-up area on the right-hand side. You will find three different pricing options. It starts at $7.50 for 1 month. It's WrestleMania season. Treat yourself. But if you want to save yourself some money, there's also a six-month option that brings that price down. If you take our annual option, you whittle that price down to an average of $5.50 per month. That's the annual option for ProWrestling.net. Again, it's the ad-free site, all the audio perks that I mentioned, and so much more. And if you ever have any questions on it, feel free to hit me up on Twitter. At Pro Wrestling Net. Let's start with the second hour of TNA Impact Wrestling. We ended up with EC3 approaching Jeff Hardy backstage and welcoming him back, and doing so in a way that was cordial. It wasn't phony EC3. And he said the old him would probably be upset that Hardy was added to the main event. And Jeff said that he's happy that the bratty EC3 is gone. And he said that he senses the new EC3 and he likes it. And EC3 said Matt is manipulating, conniving, and a big old bag of douche. And EC3 said Matt always pulls something out and he just didn't see what it, and he doesn't see it coming. And then Jeff, he's been doing really well with his with his mic work, but he had a clunker just his delivery by asking EC3 if he was at something that he didn't see coming. And EC3 said he's prepared for anything. Jeff said he came to win the TNA title for himself and the creatures. Kind of a disappointing line from Jeff. At least he mentioned the TNA title, because I know there was one point in the show where it was like he was talking about, I think it was during the exchange with Matt, there wasn't enough focus on him. I wanted to hear him talk about winning that title and kind of make it feel like it was a quest and not just, oh, he was out of the match and he's not going to win it, which is kind of the way I came away from that feeling. I came away from that segment feeling about Jeff. Third match of the night was that, well, not, I guess mixed. It was just a six-person tag. It was Abyss, Crazy Steve, and Rosemary beating James Storm, Bobby Roode, and Eddie Edwards in 7-10. I was curious to see what they would do with Rosemary when she was in there with men. On Spike TV, there was a time when they wanted... The original plan was for the Sinister Minister, Jim Mitchell, to be the manager of Awesome Kong. But Spike TV wouldn't allow any type of male-on-female violence. And so they just thought it would be better if she had a female presence with... if Awesome Kong had a female presence instead. And that's how the Raisha Saeed character came to be. So Jim Mitchell out of the Awesome Kong scenario and enter Raisha Saeed. And I don't know where Pop TV sits, you know, compared to what Spike TV... Spike TV was very strict about that. I didn't see anything here that makes me think, like, we should prepare for intergender matches like we get on the Lucha Underground television show. I don't know if that's what TNA is going for here, but when we saw, like, in the mixed tag match, Gail Kim had eat defeat, her finisher, at one point on Mike Bennett. And here, Rosemary would deliver kicks, and she can spray mist into the eyes of Roode and things like that, but there was no moves done on Rosemary. So, it's kind of a mixed reaction to the way Lucha Underground does things. I do prefer just a straight-up women's division. I would really like to see Lucha Underground take that approach. I know they just have a different feeling, and I'm hoping TNA doesn't mimic that. I think they need to focus on their women's division. It has issues right now, and, you know, Gail and Maria is nice, but there's just not a lot else going on there. Gail has been so dominant, but I don't really want to see TNA try to mimic that at all. I hope they stay away from it. I hope this was kind of a one-time thing. But the finish of this, you had Rosemary spraying mist into the eyes of Roode, and then Edwards going after her, but Steve low-blowing Edwards and rolling him up. They went backstage where Grado was speaking with a suit-wearing Billy Corgan. Or is it William Corgan? I know at one time he switched. I think they still call him Billy on the show, though, so that's what I'm going to go with. And basically, this was Corgan explaining the ruling, that whole video that came out. They didn't show it right away. They eventually did, of Eli Drake swapping the briefcase while Grado was distracted. If you don't follow TNA closely, basically, one of the briefcases contains a contract that fires the person. And Drake had opened his and found that, and so he swapped it with Grado. And it's taken TNA a really long time to finally resolve this. And Corgan said they looked at the evidence and would make their final ruling in the ring, and both Grado and Drake need to understand that the decision is final. And they went to a commercial break. When they came back, Matt Hardy and Rebby Hardy approached Dixie Carter and asked if she was doing this because she's jealous of them. Rebby said they are bigger than the brand, and Dixie should be happy because it's a good thing. And Dixie said she doesn't make decisions for her. She makes them for the fans. Like putting yourself all over television. I know, they wanted me to do it. It's not just Dixie. That's kind of... the old tried-and-true defense of every non-wrestler who becomes a character. I didn't want to, but they just thought it would be best for business, that sort of a thing. The writers really twisted my arm. I don't know if someone's, like, kissing up to Dixie by putting her all over the show this time. Hopefully this doesn't become the norm. Again, they did a much better job prior to this of limiting Dixie's appearances. I just didn't need to see as much of her last night. Anyway, Matt said it's unfair to add Jeff to the match. He said he's going to walk to the ring, wait for the bell, and then punch the referee in the face to get himself disqualified. I like that. Dixie had a chance to be smart here, but she announced there won't be any countouts or disqualifications, and someone is going to walk out a winner. So she stands up to Matt, and of course he and Rebby aren't happy about this. Where I thought she could have looked smart and made Matt look a little bit silly, I assume it's the same rules as there are as in WWE. It's a triple threat, Matt. There's no DQs or countouts anyway. Sorry, bud. But I guess they just wanted to kind of make it seem like Dixie was standing up to Matt. I did think this was a spot where we could have got a little sinister smile from Hardy. Like, you know, he got his way. He was kind of hoping that she would make it no disqualification so he could have some people interfere, something like that. But we didn't get it, at least that I caught. Then we ended up with Eli Drake coming out and saying Billy Corgan told him to dress for a fight, so he did. And Drake had Corgan told him to bring the briefcase out that was stolen from him, the one that Grado recently stole. Grado made his entrance, with and Corgan walked behind him, or walked with him, actually, and then Matthews narrated that footage of the swapping of the briefcases. And then Billy Corgan told Drake, give him the briefcase back, and Grado complied. Drake wanted to leave. Corgan stopped him, and he said the footage showed that Drake did something with the briefcases, even if they didn't know what he did. And Corgan had a contract for Grado, who was really happy, but Corgan said that he would have to earn it in a ladder match. And he said if Drake wants to get rid of Grado, then all he has to do is win the ladder match. And they go to a commercial, and it's like, okay. I mean, I guess technically, I think we all, you know, it was pretty silly to see that footage and think that, well, yeah, he didn't do anything. I get the idea that we can't officially prove it. We certainly have strong suspicions, and I thought he could have gone a little bit more in that direction. I just don't know why Billy Corgan is all over this program. I'm guessing that he enjoys Grado. I'm guessing it comes down to that. I don't know, but it's just, it's so odd to see him. There's so many things that you would think, like, higher on the card that they would involve him with. I get it if the thought is, well, we'll use Billy to make this feel a little bit more important, but I almost feel like by using Billy here, you're making him feel less important. But anyway, fourth match, it was a good one. Grado beat Eli Drake in 7:05 to earn a TNA contract. So Feaster fired basically results in no one being fired. And I think they would argue that, well, technically Grado was, but he earned his contract back. You know, he earned a new contract. Yeah, I mean, last year they had, it was Robbie E. Who ended up getting the fired briefcase. But he had, Velvet Sky had actually pulled it down for him. She wasn't in the match and given it to him. So that was like the ridiculous excuse, is that, well, she's fired because she was, her contract had legitimately expired and she was at least what turned out to be taking a break from TNA. So that was their oddball excuse there. And then this time around, this whole mess with Grado happens. I'm not a fan of Feaster fired. I'm just not. It makes TNA look ridiculous. That, yes, we're going to take a chance at one of our, I think Drew Galloway, yeah, Drew Galloway was in the match, the new TNA champion. That's how he ended up getting the contract. So he could have been fired? I mean, my God. But anyway, but good match. I want to give these guys credit because I've been tough on Grado. It's not all, his comedy isn't always for me. It's taken some time. They kind of introduced him as this wacky guy. And I think this story has at least succeeded in some degree when it comes to making the fans, helping the fans get to know him and what he's about, rather than just, here's this wacky guy. Now you kind of got a, you got a chance to see him try to fight to earn his job back. So I don't know how much sympathy there was in a storyline that was just silly, but maybe a little bit. At any rate, I came away from this feeling better about Grado than I ever have in TNA. So that's a start. And you know, I think probably even last week I was still rolling my eyes at all the Grado stuff. So it definitely, you know, just kind of looking back on everything, I think this has helped Grado. I think people will be a little more open to him now. Again, doesn't make me look back and go, wow, that all that comedy was great, because it wasn't. But I think they've done a nice job of establishing him, and we'll see what happens going forward. Oh, they did have Mahabali Shira get involved in this. He came out to stop Jesse Godders from interfering, as is kind of become the new role for Mahabali Shira on TNA Impact. And I'm not complaining if they feel the need to have him on there to keep Sony 6 happy, which is their Indian television partner that pays them a lot of money. I get it. I will take this over watching Mahabali Shira wrestle on a regular basis. This is fine. We got some backstage shots of both challengers for the main event, and then they went to a commercial. When they came back, Eric Young was scolding Bram for not being there when he needed him most. Young noticed Willow walk by in the distance, and then pointed that out to Bram, who wasn't looking. And Young said that he and Bram need to stick together now more than ever. No, you don't. No, let Bram go do other things. He needs to get away from this. And I'm hoping that, like, Young scolding him is a step toward that happening. But, you know, hey, if they can do something with them as a tag team, cool. That's fine. But I just don't like seeing Bram play this second fiddle to Eric Young, which he has. I know they're both kind of wild guys, whatever, but I don't see a lot of chemistry there. Young does a nice job with this heel character. It's taken a long time for me to kind of see that it's okay. I can accept that so much of it was just seeing Young for so long as that comedy figure. It's still, you know, I think it's upper mid card at best when they try to put him in, you know, into higher slots than that. I do groan a little bit, but you know, at least, you know, he and Bram, it's given Young and Ally, but I also I just think there's more they can do with Bram as a solo act. Again, unless they're going to do something with them as a legit tag team or something. And but yeah, Willow is apparently back, so get ready to buy your $40 Willow umbrella on the TNA website. I don't know if they're still marketing those, but if not, you know they'll be back. From there, we had Matthews hyping next week. Beer Money will defend the TNA tag titles in an open challenge against any former TNA tag team champions. So I don't know who's coming back. I don't know if they taped this last night, if the spoiler's already out there or not. I just looking at that a couple of ways, it could be former tag team champions, you know, just two guys that team together. Could also be two guys that were not an actual tag team, but they're both former TNA champions, tag champions, so they're coming together. I'm not sure what they have in mind, but that did cross my mind. That doesn't necessarily have to be an actual tag team that we're familiar with. It could be two guys we're familiar with coming together, but we'll see. Jeremy Borash, even though he did color commentary, also handled intros for the main event, which was Matt Hardy retaining the TNA title by an apparent no contest. It looked like we were going to get your typical TNA has a big moment and they overthink it and overbook a main event type of match. I really thought that. I'm like, oh no, they can't resist. But what they did, first they had Eric Young and Bram run out and they attack Jeff Hardy, throw him to ringside. Eric Young pile drives him on the concrete and then security runs out and they ended up leading Young and Bram backstage. And Hardy was helped out by two security guards, I think it was. I don't think it was medical staff, but I could be wrong. Anyway, he was helped to the back. So that leaves EC3 and Matt Hardy. Rockstar Spud and Tyrus run out and they attack EC3. He fights them off. Matt recovers and hits a low blow. Long story short here, no matter what Matt did to EC3, EC3 was Superman. He kept kicking out of everything. It was a little much. Yeah, I mean, I know they're trying to make, well, Josh's line, he's the ass-kicking machine. A little bit much, to see him kick out of as much as he did. It got good reactions from the crowd. But it became a little bit eye-rolling. I mean, I was starting to wonder, like, is he going to shoot him in the head and then he's still going to kick out? I mean, it wasn't that absurd, but it was approaching this. But anyway, he fights off the first two. And then Mike Bennett comes out. Mike Bennett needs to swing chairs better than he does because he hit two chair shots to the back of EC3. Both very, very soft. The first one, I'm like, okay, well, you know, he'll probably make up for it on the second one. And I was kind of, like, bracing myself, like, ready to feel EC3's pain. And no, the second one was as light as the first one. Security surrounds Bennett. Matthew said, this is too much. Like, yeah, well, not in TNA, but at least past the old TNA. But yes, it is. Security and referees help EC3 to his feet and then help him backstage from... So, yeah, two very light chair shots. And so it looks like Matt is going to win that way. No finish. And I'm like, oh, boy, they couldn't even have a finish to this thing. Hardy takes his title belt, grabs a microphone, and he's laughing at the fans. And he said that he told all the fans, and he walked around ringside, and he was boasting about retaining the title. And he said he told everyone he was going to walk out as champion. Just as he made it to the edge of the ramp, Drew Galloway's music played. And Galloway comes out, punched Hardy, threw him back in the ring, and then officially cashed in his Feast or Fired briefcase and ended up beating Matt Hardy in 25 seconds. He hit a Claymore kick and the Future Shock DDT to get the win. So Drew Galloway becomes a new TNA champion, and he celebrated in the ring, and then he went into the crowd kind of old-school DDP style to celebrate with the fans, and it works for him. Then he is that type of babyface. He is the man of the people. I mean, that's kind of how he's positioned. And so him going into the crowd seemed natural. It was a good celebration. Cool moment. Again, I just question whether or not they pulled the plug on Matt Hardy a little too soon. And I also question whether this was the right way for Galloway to win the title. I wish they would have built to that moment, made me want to see it more. Had a showdown match with Drew Galloway and Matt Hardy. You know, you can go back, it's certainly up for debate whether it was too soon for Hardy, but I think the one with Galloway, they chose kind of they kind of took a page out of TNA's playbook by going with the surprise, letting that be more important than telling a good story here. But I again, they have a good champion. It's not like it's that they went with some green guy that they were excited about. They went with Drew Galloway, who's done a hell of a job in TNA. And so hopefully Matt Hardy bounces back from this. And as far as not bounces back, I mean, I don't think he's in a horrible position, but I do think that character's better off with the title. I think he needed it more than Drew Galloway does right now. But you do have Drew Galloway, a good champion with a lot of strong potential opponents. Yeah, you have EC3 and Galloway at some point. I'm sure that'll be a money match. I think they can build to that, and it can feel like a big match. And certainly Lashley and Mike Bennett. So it's not like there's a shortage of guys that he can face, but really, the only guy we saw Matt Hardy go through, it felt like, was EC3. I mean, it wasn't like Matt Hardy was, I guess Kurt Angle once, but it wasn't like Hardy had gone through all of his potential opponents either. They just kept going back to EC3. So, but, hey, Galloway's a good champion again, and curious to see where they go with Matt Hardy from here. And but overall, I think a memorable edition of TNA Impact Wrestling, better than their last live show, if you will, where they premiered on Pop TVA. It was one of the shows that I was not a big fan of. I was just kind of a little bit underwhelming for the big return for TNA Impact Wrestling. But I think there has only been one, maybe two, I think only one show other than that one since they moved to Pop TV that I've been really down on. TNA is doing a much better job creatively. Last night, it did feel a little overbooked at times, but I like that you can tell they have long-term plans in place, and maybe they called an audible on this championship thing. I'd be surprised when Matt Hardy won the title if they had decided he's going to lose it a couple months from now or whatever it turned out to be. I'd be really surprised by that. So while I do think they have long-term plans, I do think, I'm guessing an audible was called here, and we'll find out if there was a reason. I mean, I did check to find, is Matt Hardy hurt or something? Is he able to get through this and there's a surgeon? I was told no. He's physically healthy. But I'll have more to say about that situation in the .NET Weekly audio show that'll be coming up on Thursday, exclusively for .NET members. And good news, Court Bauer from MLWRadio.com will be joining me. He's confirmed, but we just need to set a time. And so as long as there's not some sort of a timing conflict, because it is St. Patrick's Day, and that means I need to have a shamrock shake and probably need to go have a green beer or two because it's St. Patrick's Day. So if there's no timing issues, Court and I will get together exclusively for .NET members on Thursday with a ton of backstage information on a couple of different promotions, if not a few different promotions. So I'm looking forward to that. Thank you for listening today. And again, Zach Zimmerman will be by tomorrow with the NXT audio review in this slot. And then on Friday, you will hear from Jake Barnett and Will Pruitt, the return of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. Have a great day, everybody. Take care.